Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I am Mark Whitman.
And this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. And today, a little bit different because I'm going to be honest, we're recording this on February the 5th, 2015. And just this week, I picked up the year-end issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, marked the April 2015 issue. It says on here, display until March 24th. This just came out. It is their year-end review.
Where do you find that at, by the
way? Walmart. Got this at Walmart. Walmart still carries Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And I
never see it there.
Really? Well, I pick this up every – I get this issue every year. So here we go. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the award winners.
I haven't seen any of these.
No. Mark has no clue. And we're going to talk about these and we're going to say agree or disagree. Allegedly, all these awards are voted on by the readers of Pro Wrestling.
So they say. I
have mailed in my ballot before.
Have you really?
When I was a kid. Check that. I filled out the ballot and gave it to my mom to mail in. Now, whether my mother
I'm sure that
mailed
that
it in.
Top of the priority list.
As a postal worker, you would think she would have the resources.
It would be a federal law for her to tamper with you.
Needless to say, I never saw my, because if you've never read.
They do the unofficial
awards. The unofficial awards. Yeah. And if, listen. If you're a wrestling fan, if there's one wrestling magazine, until we have the Double Dropkick Show magazine, if there's one wrestling magazine you need to buy every year, it's the year-end issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. So
I like Fighting Spirit magazine. Have you ever read it?
I've never read that.
It's good. It's a UK wrestling magazine.
Oh, nice.
Jim Cornette writes a column for it.
Oh, cool.
I mean, it's a really good wrestling magazine.
So here we go. Again, Mark does not know these, and I'm trying to hide them from him as I open.
I'm 10 feet away from you, boss. I can't read.
Okay. First one I want to read. This is Rookie of the Year for 2014.
Okay.
Third runner-up, Chad Gable.
Never heard of him.
Second runner-up is Mojo Rawley.
Really?
Guy in NXT.
The job guy on NXT?
Sure. And then the first runner-up is Enzo Amore.
He is entertaining.
I think he...
Yeah. I don't know that he's a Rookie of the Year, but he is entertaining.
Right. To be honest, as I am looking at this rookie class of others receiving votes, pretty thin compared to what I've seen in the past. The winner of the Rookie of the Year... Charlotte from NXT, okay. Ric Flair's daughter.
Yeah, I can see that, man. Yeah. I really could. I mean, she's got some talent, man.
She has come a long way in a short amount of time.
Yeah, she has. She could, if they start taking their women's division seriously, first of all, I like the fact that they call it the women's division.
Yeah.
On NXT and not the divas, because that's an outdated term.
Yeah.
I think Triple H has got a real good pro wrestling show vision for that, and they treat the women's division. It's not a TNA show.
No.
Those girls are athletic.
And they're working.
They can work. Yeah. And they have some great, great matches, especially Charlotte. So, yeah, I can't think of any other rookie. You know,
right. The last
that I would give that to. So, yeah, I think she's phenomenal.
The last NXT big show that they had was Charlotte, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who she wrestled, but they put on a phenomenal women's match. It was a phenomenal match.
Was it Sasha Banks?
Might have been, but I thought their match was great.
Yeah, it was really good. That girl, Bayley, not a big fan of the gimmick.
Right.
But she can work, I mean, at least. More than either one of the Bellas could ever dream of being able to work.
Right.
And she's a wrestling fan.
Now,
the chick Bailey, she's like a big wrestling fan from growing up. So
I thought the women's match at the Royal Rumble, Bella's versus Natalya and Paige. I was okay with that match.
Yeah.
For what it was, I thought they all worked hard. They put together some decent sequences. The mm-hmm. end, the way the end was booked, I thought was good. I mean, for what they are, and for what it was, the time I thought it was fine. I
didn't care.
Yeah, I know. Somebody has to.
But I do care when Charlotte wrestles. That's my point.
Yes, that's yes.
I do make an effort to watch her matches,
right?
Because she is.
She's good. Innovative for a female
wrestler. She is.
A female
she's
wrestler
very, very
as well.
Athletic.
Yeah.
And I think she's. I've heard some people knock her looks. I think she's a pretty good looking gal.
I would tend to agree with you. So, the next one, Inspirational Wrestler of the Year.
Oh my! One of my least favorite.
Third runner-up, Ashley Six, who overcame Hodgkin's lymphoma to come back, and he actually just wrestled on Ring of Honor this past weekend. Second runner-up, Chris Melendez, who's the guy with only has one leg and wrestles with a prosthetic leg. First runner-up, Eric Young.
Not sure.
Listen, I didn't vote. So don't blame me. The winner, Daniel Bryan, with almost 50% of the vote, which is odd because he only wrestled half a year.
Yeah, what was that inspiration? What did he?
I think they. I don't know why people voted for him. They did. I would say
Marks being Marks, they love Daniel Bryan. And if he'd have been a rookie, I bet you he got some votes for Rookie of the Year.
Let me read some of these.
I don't understand that. I don't get that.
Here's some
That's
of the others.
Stupid thing. I don't.
Here's some of the others getting votes.
Okay. A bunch of other people I've never heard.
So I don't understand this. John Cena.
Yeah. What I mean.
Bo Dallas. Inspirational.
See,
wrestler.
I get that because it's part of his gimmick. He should have won that.
Bobby Fulton. Yeah, Zach Gowen. Davey Richards.
See, I kind of get Zach Gowen because he's overcome some drug issues.
AJ Styles, Jack Swagger, Tyron Terrell, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler.
Okay. Congratulations to all those people. I think I've never liked that Inspirational Wrestler Award.
Yeah. The year that sometimes I think that's a once in a while award.
I always thought they did it.
Well, no. I mean, no, they do it every year, but to me, you only do it when it's necessary.
Right.
All right, next one. Most Improved Wrestler of the Year.
Okay.
Well, this is a legitimate one. I like this one. Third runner-up, Eric Young.
You're still most improved 10 or 15 years into your career, that's why you're not in WWE.
You're correct.
Let's move on.
Second runner-up, Luke Harper.
Yeah. I can see him being on that list.
First runner-up, Ethan Carter III.
I can agree with that, too.
And the winner that I totally agree with, although this was a very close vote, Most Improved Wrestler, Rusev.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, that's what that award is for.
I told you, we talked about it yesterday. When Rusev come out,
yes.
You asked me what I thought. I said, they're going to build him up. He's going to get beat by Cena, and then he's going to start doing comedy skits with the Great Khali, and he has avoided doing that.
Yeah, yes.
And now he's fixing to face John Cena, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Yeah. We're a year into it.
Where he goes, but so far he has gotten a lot better in the ring.
Yes. Believable.
Gotten good, real good on his promos even.
Yeah. He doesn't ever even have to speak any English.
No, and I'm going to be honest with you. Having a good-looking chick standing behind – well, always, it's just like having really good music.
Yeah.
Anytime you can add something to an act that enhances them a little bit, and she is gorgeous.
And does her role perfectly.
Right, and she's really good at what she does.
Yeah.
She never breaks character.
No.
She's not afraid to draw real heat.
Yes.
She's incredible at what she does, and she enhances him. They are a great two-person act.
Yeah. I loved it. On the Raw, where he came in and he had the mic first, which is rare.
Right.
Because normally she does most of the talking. And he was just flabbergasted.
Yeah.
He was talking.
Oh, he was hot, boy.
And he got so flabbergasted, he handed her the mic And so she started talking, but he was so flabbergasted he took the mic back.
Yeah,
huh? Give me more of that. Give me more of that.
He was flipping out about what happened. It was great, man.
He was, I agree with that. And I'm watching that, and I forget what I'm watching.
Right.
When he is up there, I suspend my disbelief because I believe that that's a mad Russian who wants to destroy our country.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of what he does.
Comeback of the year is our next award. Third runner-up with 7% of the vote, New Age Outlaws.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
They did come back this year.
They did. The second runner-up, Batista. He did come back as well. He did not go as well. First runner-up, Bobby Lashley.
If you take a massive step down, that's not a comeback to me.
Right.
He'd have come back to WWE, okay?
Yeah.
But he didn't, so
yeah.
Whatever.
But I think people, yeah, I agree. And the winner of comeback of the year, Sting. Comeback of the year. The guy appeared.
He showed up on the Titantron, and he hadn't gone anywhere. He took a step up from TNA to WWE to finish out his career the way he deserves to finish his career out.
Yes.
Not wrestling in front of 15 people at a blacked out arena trying to make it look like there's a bunch of people there.
Yeah.
So he finally gets what he deserves in life. But what did he didn't come back. He moved on and went to another company. But maybe it speaks a lot about TNA.
You're right.
That he could be there for all these years and then show up on a screen in WWE and get comeback of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because TNA is irrelevant.
Because a lot of people who watch the WWE product, and maybe even more so now, do not even know that TNA exists.
Yeah, they don't care about TNA. As far as they're concerned, ain't nobody seen Sting since that last episode of Nitro.
TNA, excuse me, Impact Wrestling, whatever you're calling yourself, I don't know what they call themselves.
Yeah, they don't even know. They don't know what they are as a wrestling company.
They have a full page ad here on the back page of this PWI. Now, a couple of things I want to say. It says Impact Wrestling on Destination America beginning January 16th. This issue did not even come out till after January the 16th.
Right.
There's TNA for you right there.
That's right.
In 30 years of being...
It's in something that was taped 3 months ago that's going to air on January 16th. Here's an ad for it in a magazine that hadn't even come out.
And in this ad...
That's why they're in the...
In this ad... The only person in this ad, Gail Kim, who got her start in WWE.
Who is great, is a great female.
Kurt Angle, who got his start in WWE. Great. Jeff Hardy got his start in WWE. Uh-huh. Bobby Roode, we like Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
He's always been a TNA guy. And then Bobby Lashley, who got
Did
his start.
Did you hear where Dixie Carter, when they ask her about getting all the WWE guys? This really happened.
Yeah.
This tells you about her disconnect with reality, where she said, well, if you look, WWE's got a lot of TNA guys up there right now. They got Rob Van Dam, Hulk Hogan. They got Sting. Yes.
She did not say that.
Yes, she did.
No, she
say
did
that.
Not.
Yes, she did. There's all kind of TNA guys in WWE right now, like Hulk Hogan. Yeah, she's oblivious. You said it best. This is what happens when a child grows up never hearing the word no.
If you haven't, I saw this on Facebook. It may be on YouTube. If you can go, it's a 4-minute video highlighting TNA's move to Monday nights. And it's the Hulk Hogan. It starts out with the Hulk Hogan announcement. Hulk Hogan's here. We're moving to Monday nights. This is why we're moving to Monday nights. It shows all this stupid stuff that happened on Monday night. And then they announce that they're moving back to whatever night they were moving back. I guess Thursday nights. And why that was just, we're going home to Thursday night.
Yeah. They're just
ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a reason that, there again, all of that. Like you said, there's an ad in there for a show that started a month after that magazine came out.
Well, no, this issue came out the week after. So the ad is for this show starts – January 16th.
Right. And
this issue came out the week after January 16th.
And the stuff was taped a few weeks before that.
Right.
Get your timelines.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you did, maybe a guy that had been in your company 10 years and then showed up in WWE, they wouldn't call it the comeback of the year.
Comeback of the year.
That's, you know, that says more about their product. And I know they got their fans, and that's fine. If you want to watch them.
They have better men. Okay.
Yeah, sure they do.
If a tree.
Sure. Sure. Anything. I guarantee you nothing happened in TNA in the last 5 years that was as good as that triple threat match at the Royal Rumble.
That's right. That's right.
Nothing.
And hey, if you're listening to this, that's what's coming. That's how we're finishing this episode with our voiceover of the Royal Rumble triple threat. Jessica Havoc.
Okay, she's good.
Yeah, okay. Second runner-up, Stephanie McMahon. She's on TV
I'm
everywhere.
I'm tired of her, man. Yeah. I'm just tired of it.
First runner-up.
Shrill, shrieking voice. I just... If
she's
going
away for a little bit.
She's beautiful, but if I never see Stephanie McMahon again, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of it.
First runner-up.
Same thing every week.
First runner-up, Paige.
Nah, she's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give her that. She's gotten a lot better since she first showed up, but
and I don't get
still not enamored with her like a lot of people are.
And the winner, AJ Lee, Woman of the Year.
There
I don't
again,
really
I'm
know
not,
what she did.
What
this
did she
year.
Do? I mean, I'm there again. She's taking a couple of breaks from wrestling, and I just that's the CM Punk crowd voting for her.
Really? Yeah.
I don't get it. What's she done?
Okay. Feud of the year.
Okay. I'm interested in this.
Third runner up, Bully Ray versus Dixie Carter.
There again, if the payoff of your feud, and I watched it, if the payoff of your feud is a big 6'4", whatever, however big, Bully Ray is, putting a little scrawny middle-aged woman through a table.
Who's not a performer.
Who's not a wrestler.
You know, there's another TNA guy that's in WWE now.
Yep. Bully another Ray. TNA guy went to WWE. But it was good. I mean, I'll give him that. It was good. But I'm just not a fan of this violence toward women. Even when they got it coming, you just don't do it. I don't like it.
I want to look at something.
If she can't fight back. Now, there's a trend right now in PWG, Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan are a tag team.
Yeah.
And she gets in there and she works. And at first I was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, well, I watch movies all the time that have these women who can fight.
Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez and you know, Fast and Furious movies. Gina Serrano can get in there and she fights with these men. And if you sell a woman as she has the ability to get in here and she's good enough to fight against these men, then I really don't have a problem with it.
Right.
I did originally and I was like, but that's my old school wrestling mentality. Do I want to see a woman fighting a man from underneath?
Right. I never had a problem when China wrestled men.
No,
because that was believable. But like I said, Dixie. Now let me just stop.
But Dixie Carter's not a wrestler,
right?
She's a mid-40s, maybe 50s. I don't know how old she is. She's a businesswoman, and I just putting her through a table.
So let me throw this out at you. If you didn't know this, we like to bash TNA on this show. I do at least.
If they were good, I wouldn't bash them.
No, in 2012. The feud of the year was Aces and Eights versus TNA, which was Bully Ray being the bad guy.
Yeah.
Versus Dixie Carter being the hero. And here we are 2 years later that whole thing.
That was feud of the year?
Yeah, that was feud of the year.
That crappy Sons of Anarchy ripoff. Who's reading Pro Wrestling Illustrated? Maybe that's why they advertised in there, because clearly the people that watch them.
So the runners up that year was first runner up was John Cena and The Rock, which they only wrestled once.
So Aces and Eights versus TNA beat John Cena and The Rock.
And the second runner up was CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
The third runner up.
One of the greatest series of matches.
The third runner up. Is what I would have voted on for Feud of the Year, and that was when Adam Pearce and Colt Cabana did their seven levels of hate.
Yeah, that's
your Feud of the Year.
Yeah, how does aces and eights? I'm curious. Maybe sometimes people vote. Like one time they had a match where you can see John Cena face. So, and I voted for Great Khali just to,
yeah,
to skew the vote.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't even vote on that app often, but I just thought these are the stupidest, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm voting for Khali. Maybe people did that. I cannot imagine. Anyway, let's talk about 12 years ago. Let's talk about.
So this, all right, second runner-up for Feud of the Year 2014, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that's a great. That's a great feud.
Yeah.
Intense, believable matches.
First runner-up, Wyatt Family versus The Shield.
Yeah,
that was a great feud.
That's the. I'm curious to see what number one is.
If number one Feud of the Year, Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. See, they didn't really wrestle a whole lot.
And you got the whole Authority versus.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan versus the Authority is in others receiving
Golly,
votes.
Man.
Cena versus Wyatt.
There's some idiots reading this magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let's get
most popular wrestler of the year.
Wow, let me guess. Is it who I think it is?
No, I don't think it is.
Really?
Third runner-up, the Usos.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
Second runner-up, John Cena.
I can see that.
First runner-up, Daniel Bryan.
See, that was who I would have thought.
And with a slim 6% margin of victory, most popular wrestler of the year for 2014, Dean Ambrose.
See, that tells you who's really over.
That's exactly right. If this is a legitimate vote.
There again, I don't, how do I say this without offending people? Well, I don't. Fans are stupid, and they go by their little hashtags. And this, here's what I go by. On Black Friday, WWE had a sale, and Dean Ambrose sold more merchandise than anybody.
That's exactly right.
That's bottom line, I think.
Yeah.
At house shows, Roman Reigns gets great receptions, and people don't jump up and do the yes thing quite as much.
Yeah.
This is the truth.
Yeah.
It's just the truth.
I think it's a different crowd when you're doing a live TV show crowd versus a house show crowd.
Yeah,
it's a different feel.
The house show, the Raw and the pay-per-views are always going to be a little bit more diehard fans, and they're a little bit harder to please. The house show crowd is daddy taking his kids to wrestling on Saturday night. You know what I mean?
Most hated wrestler of the year. Third runner-up.
Is it CM Punk?
No. That's who you would vote for.
No, I'd probably go with Miz. But anyway.
Third runner-up, Batista.
Yeah, I don't think
the guy wasn't there but a couple of months.
Yeah, give him a break. He put everybody over that he got in the ring with.
Yeah. Did he even win a match?
I mean, he might have won one or two, but he put everybody over that he worked with. He got a Raw deal.
He did. I absolutely agree with you.
Now that he's a big star, and with the biggest movie of the year, I hope he don't come back.
Can I just say this? I like the blue tights.
Listen, I'm not like waving the Batista flag.
No.
I think he's the greatest of all time. But man, he ain't that bad. He didn't deserve that treatment. I don't care what anybody says.
I agree. I'm with you.
He did nothing but give back the whole time he was there.
You're right. Yeah. Second runner-up, Dixie Carter.
Nah.
First runner-up, Seth Rollins.
I get that. He's a great heel. And he plays that heel role like it's supposed to be played.
He's great, man. Most hated wrestlers of the year, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, I can see people.
I totally get that. I mean, I understand that. I get that.
Yeah, I'm starting to hate them too.
Match of the
year. Her more than him. I can deal with him. That's their whole... We're smarter than everybody stuff. I get tired of that.
Match of the year.
Okay.
Third runner-up. The Wolves versus the Hardys versus Team 3D.
Okay.
This was the Full Metal Mayhem match from September. That's third runner-up.
I started watching that and fell asleep.
I didn't see it. Second runner-up. Sami Zayn versus Cesaro.
Yeah, that was when we talked about the best matches of the year on our show. when it was over, I thought back and wished that I had at least brought that up.
Yeah, that was
because that was a great match.
That was a good match. First runner up, the Shield versus the Wyatt family.
Yeah, that was a good match.
That was a good match. And the match of the year, I don't think you disagree with this. The I'm trying to look. It's John Cena versus Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
The last man standing match.
I don't think it was the best match of the year, but it was a good match.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Good match. Next, we got tag team of the year. Third runner up, Gold Dust and Stardust.
Whatever. I mean, there's. just get this over with.
Second runner up, the Wolves.
Okay.
First runner up, Red Dragon.
Yeah,
that's who I like. Yeah, and then tag team of the year, the Usos.
Yeah, I knew that was who that was
going to
be.
So. Usos. I don't understand the tag team booking nowadays. Because sometimes
they don't either.
Right,
they don't understand booking at all. So,
yeah, I agree. Now this is the one we've been building to. You know who? This is the only one that you know the winner.
Right, because it's on the cover, and I can see.
Right. So it's the Wrestler of the Year 2014. Mark and I, on our awards, our Wrestler of the Year was AJ Styles. Let's see what the fans of and readers of Pro Wrestling Illustrated said. Third runner-up, John Cena.
Okay.
Second runner-up, AJ Styles. So there are some semi-intelligent people.
There's a few people that get it.
First runner-up, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I mean, for the few matches that he had.
The first runner-up, the winner of the Wrestler of the Year for 2014, as voted on by the readers of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Brock Lesnar.
I can see on the cover there, 61 minutes, 49 seconds of actual in-ring work.
And the cover says, how to win Wrestler of the Year in 61 minutes and 49 seconds. Now,
yeah.
What they do in this magazine is they play both sides of the issue of how absurd it is that he won Wrestler of the Year by only wrestling in four matches for a total of 60 minutes. But then they also take the other side of that's how dominant and good he is.
Yeah.
That he can do that.
We're going to talk about it in a little bit, but man, that guy stalks around the ring like he is a predator.
Yeah.
Nobody does that.
Yeah.
Nobody else moves. I mean, it's like he's pacing back and forth waiting on somebody to stand up so he can knock them back down.
Right, right.
And he's enjoying doing it.
Now, on one of our other episodes, we did a voiceover for the Lesnar versus Goldberg match. And we want to do, to finish this episode out, all of this first 28 minutes was a tease to get you to where we're at. Because I think
when you tease somebody, it's supposed to be good.
Well, no.
I really didn't think that was a great 30 minutes of conversation.
No, but it's built to
you and honest. I. I'm honest about us, too. So when I don't think it's great,
But we weren't talking about our stuff. We're talking about we didn't have a lot of stuff to work with.
Right.
And here's the thing. TNA, it's every award won by WWE.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor had a few mentions, runner-ups or whatever. TNA, you are not a close second right now.
No.
You are not even...
They're not even in the conversation.
That's exactly right.
Being on that little flunky network that nobody's got.
Personally, I wanted to do this episode because Mark and I, in private conversations, have talked about our admiration for Brock Lesnar, who much of the internet wrestling community, smart marks, whatever, they just don't like the guy because he's a part-timer.
Right.
We wanted the opportunity by doing the voiceover of this triple threat match from Royal Rumble to talk about, I mean, we're not going to be announcing the match, but Mark and I just to share our thoughts on... Personally, why I agree the guy deserved to win Wrestler of the Year in 61 minutes and 49 seconds.
Yeah, he's more dominant than it. Like, they're building up Roman Reigns, and he's floundering in the ring against, like, I told you, if I wanted to build Roman Reigns up as a legitimate threat to Brock Lesnar, a year ago, Brock Lesnar destroyed Big Show before the bell rings. I would think that I put Reigns and Big Show in the ring together, and that match goes 30 seconds.
Yeah.
The bell rings, he hits him with a spear, he gets up, he hits him with a Superman punch, and he pins him.
Yeah.
And he says, who's next?
Yeah.
Who wants some? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's who Roman Reigns should be.
Yeah.
If you want to tell the underdog story, then you go with Daniel Bryan, because
right.
Roman Reigns is not an underdog.
No. No, he's not. You cannot tell the story of his pedigree and then try to play him off as a
underdog. Yeah, you can't take this guy who looks like he's carved out of granite.
He does.
You know, and he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And he's got some charisma.
Yeah.
You know, not as much as The Rock. Nowhere near as much as The Rock.
Right.
But he's got a little.
Yeah.
There's flashes of it there.
Yes.
He's got that Orton thing. There's flashes of greatness with him sometimes. But you can't tell the underdog story with him. He's not an underdog.
Nah. Yeah.
You're not hanging out with The Rock and you're some kind of underdog.
No.
Daniel Bryan is the underdog. So if that's the story you want to tell, then tell it with Daniel Bryan.
I agree.
There's another story to be told with Roman Reigns. And that is the irresistible force meets the immovable object. When Paul Heyman says, you've never been in the ring with nobody like Brock Lesnar before, Roman Reigns should be able to say, Brock Lesnar ain't never been in the ring with nobody like me before.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And you going in should know this guy can hold his own against Lesnar.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have everybody out there telling him he's going to get eat alive at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's what you tell Daniel Bryan. That's not what you tell Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I agree. So, without further ado, we want you to pull up your WWE Network or whatever you're watching it on. Cue up the Triple Threat World Title match from Royal Rumble 2015. Turn the volume down and listen to Mark and I tell you the truth about this phenomenal match. So Mark and I have got the Triple Threat match from the Royal Rumble queued up. We're watching it, and I just had it pause while we were eating lunch. And shout out to Countryside Exxon, where we picked up some hot dogs today.
That's right.
And that might be a new lunch tradition since the Cholito sold us out.
You're right. So what's the time code here if people want to
follow along
with us? Cause we didn't
we're at 59 minutes. So we're watching this on a Roku. And if you fast forward to 59 minutes, that's where we're at. Lillian Garcia is making
check it out. Yeah. Right now, as we look, Rollins there.
Yeah, Rollins is...
Rollins is smirking.
Yeah. Right? And when you... there's two guys in this match that look like wrestlers.
Yeah.
And there's one guy who looks like he just walked in off the street to get in the ring.
Took
his shirt off, and he's.
But granted, if he did just walk out off the street and take his shirt off and get ready to wrestle, you still probably don't want to mess with
him.
He's cocky.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar with a huge pop.
And just, you talk about a commanding presence. He is it, man.
Yeah.
He looks like the kind of guy, that big cauliflower ear. He just looks like the kind of guy you don't want to mess with. Here we go, holding the title up, letting everybody see what the prize is about.
This has a big fight feel to it.
It does.
When I was watching it live, it just, triple threat matches are hard to do. So Rollins does what the heel does, and now,
right to the German.
Yeah.
And Lesnar just, the entire match, and he just stalks around.
Yeah.
Just his presence is incredible, man.
Yeah.
He's suplexing Cena and looking at Rollins. And then we get to this was a great spot right there, the double German.
Yeah. Just,
Brock Lesnar's a babyface in this match.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Right for the A. That was my only issue with this match.
Uh-huh.
Relied on the same couple of moves, the AA, the F5, and the curb stomp a little too much.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just about a perfect match. And then, of course, there's always John Cena, and I'll point him out when he does them.
Yeah.
There's a couple of weak shoulder blocks, a couple of weak clotheslines, and then that crappy-looking STF that he does.
So let me...
But there ain't nothing weak or loose about anything Brock Lesnar does. It's knock you down.
So I wanted to say this about Brock Lesnar. A lot of people complain about him being a part-timer. A lot of people complain about him winning Wrestler of the Year. He only wrestled 4 matches. Brock Lesnar is great for business.
Yeah.
He is the most legitimate guy in my lifetime.
Right.
Of believing that if somebody don't want to go along with the plan, they're not going to do that with Brock Lesnar.
No. He could be an old school hooker. And just the way he manhandled Rollins on that throw.
Yeah, he just was. Yeah. And Rollins is doing. So I say all that to say Brock Lesnar is a man. He is making a lot of money. He's not working a lot of shows. But he is just great. Yeah, he's not effective. Mail it in. And no. I appreciate about them.
Right.
I never look at Brock Lesnar and look at him in a match. And he's like, well, he don't even want to be there.
Right.
In contrast to the match with he and Goldberg.
Right.
You know.
And a lot of times, you know, guys who have that kind of deal, even Sting sometimes.
Yeah.
And the Hulk Hogan and Hall and Nash in WCW, a lot of those guys were getting paid a lot of money for limited dates, and then they'd show up and take a nap. He doesn't do that.
No.
He's like, he earns every dime they pay him, and he knows they're paying him good money. And he comes in and does exactly what he's supposed to do.
And Brock Lesnar also knows that if he shows up and mails it in, he's not just thinking about his WWE career.
Right.
He wants to be legit. And not if. When he goes back to UFC, he hadn't done anything so far in WWE to tarnish.
No. Do you think he's going back? John Cena got him a handful of booty right there.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think he's
going?
I thought that was a great spot.
We just saw Rollins just jumped off the top rope whilst I thought Cena showed what strength to kind of pick Lesnar up. Now, when they show the replay of this, I don't know how Lesnar didn't get a concussion. And Rollins right – oh, here's that replay. Booyow!
Yeah.
Shin to the head. And Rollins here, doing the smart thing, started going for the legs of Lesnar, trying to chop down the tree.
And Lesnar, it was no avail.
Yeah.
I mean, just he's a beast. There again, if I want Roman Reigns to be the guy that can take him out, I book Roman Reigns just like I'm booking Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. This is the rare match, and tell me if you agree or disagree with this, Mark. Again, here's another AA coming.
Too much, man. They did that too much. This could have been a 5-star match if they'd used a couple of more moves.
Right. And Lesnar kicked out at 1 of the A. Yeah. I thought this was a triple threat match. Booking-wise, did everything it was supposed to do, and all 3 guys get over. Nobody loses any luster after this match.
No, and I've always said I'm critical of the triple threat matches because you typically have a guy laying on the floor selling a backdrop.
Yeah.
And you don't get that in this match.
No, Brock Lesnar sells some broken ribs.
Right, but it makes sense, and you work up to that point, and then he's right back when he should be. To me, it was just a star-making performance for Seth Rollins.
I absolutely agree.
And I've been critical of a few things about him, but for the most part, I've always liked the guy.
Yeah. John Cena, perhaps the worst drop kick in wrestling.
John Cena's moves are the worst anyway.
Yeah.
They just are.
He's just not crisp.
No. Watch this. Those weak shoulder blocks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When he does a shoulder block, he's thinking about getting up more than...
Yeah, right. Then, like, if you... Reigns speared Big Show on Raw a few weeks back when he come out. That was an incredible spear. just get caught up. I like when Rollins does that.
And they're just trying to lead up to the five knuckle shuffle.
Yeah, it's all a setup.
Which and then, and the people pop.
People going crazy.
Yeah.
Lesnar is just a beast, just like what they say he is. Here we go with the Germans.
Now, let me ask you this. Is the German suplex being overdone in this feud?
No, I think it's logical. He's got a move that he knows worked.
Yeah.
So he's using it.
Yeah. And it's an effective move.
It is effective. And I'd like to see him change it up a little bit, maybe, and not do the same thing all the time. But Rollins he stepped up and looked like he belongs.
So right there, Cena, never done that move before. The little whatever.
Sure, he's never done that move
before. I've never seen him do it. I popped up when he did that because it was a new move. It was
different, exactly. And if they had used a few more different moves instead of going back to the same couple, it just could have been. And it's a classic match anyway, but it could have gone down as one of the greatest matches of all time.
I agree with you. You're absolutely right.
So normally I'm not a huge fan of the triple threat matches.
There you go.
Started down this path earlier and I got sidetracked. You're fixing to sidetrack me again, but go ahead. I've let you talk. But now you go ahead and interrupt me again. Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
No.
I just popped for that move Seth Rollins did. And I was just going to ask you when Buff Bagwell did that move, what was the name of it?
I couldn't tell you.
The Blockbuster?
I don't remember anything Buff Bagwell did. I don't know.
He was tag team champions with the Steiners or with his mom or the Steiners.
Said something like that. Judy Bagwell. So anyway, not a big fan of the triple threat matches because there's always a guy selling a backdrop. But there have been two in history that I really liked, and that is this one and Triple H versus HBK and Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Which they didn't do that either. All three guys were in and out of the ring the whole match.
Yeah, this is pretty impressive right here.
Yeah. Even that little stumble that Lesnar did just added to it.
Yeah. Michael Cole just said something intelligent. That was incredible, and he would be correct.
Yeah, Michael Cole doesn't say too many.
To me, this match with the right announcers could have been...
Oh, with Jim Ross and Paul Heyman or Bobby Heenan even. And
will you stop?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And it was a great – this is a great match. It's one of the best matches of the past few years.
Compared Lesnar, his physical condition now compared even to the WrestleMania match last year, he's in a whole different zone.
Yeah, he looks –
he's a little more cut.
Yeah, he's a little more cut. There was a time when he had that farm boy strong look to it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where he was clearly all muscle, but he wasn't as defined and he wasn't as cut up.
Yeah.
But, man, he's yoked right now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
This coming up. People just love to see Brock Lesnar tear stuff up.
I know.
The way they pop for him just throwing that monitor. Because nobody does that. There's... people love in wrestling, they love the outlaw. And they love that idea that I don't know what this guy's going to do next. Yeah. I don't think that guy was supposed to. They want to suspend their disbelief. And Brock Lesnar, you can do that with him. You can say, I'm not, you know, maybe he's off his rocker a little bit. I don't think he was supposed to break that monitor.
Right.
And it's just little things like that that he does come across as a real outlaw. And a guy that you don't know what he's going
to
do next.
And people to this day still think that Brock Lesnar was not supposed to beat The Undertaker.
Right. And that's what I mean. Because they buy into that.
So at this point, in the last 60 seconds, Lesnar got three AAs, popped up from two of them, kicked out of the third one, just got a curb stomp, and was going to kick out of it.
Right.
Like, this guy is a...
he's a cyborg. He's a... he, if they're making another Terminator movie, that's right, be the guy who plays the Terminator.
Yeah, forget Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's right.
A lot of people are critical of the curb stomp. I like it.
Yeah, it's different.
I heard somebody Then I'll be honest, it was a female commentator that says he just apparently kicked somebody in the back of the head. I don't know if you've ever been in a fight or not, but if somebody puts their foot on the back of your head and drives your face first down into the end of the ground, that hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here we go. One of the I really like that. And I thought Lesnar got hurt there. I mean, they did everything but shoot Lesnar in the face to get him out of this match for a few minutes, I thought.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. We're watching this. Lesnar is dripping from head to toe in sweat.
Right.
John Cena is not sweating at all.
You never see John Cena sweat. I've noticed. Rarely do you see him. I don't know what it is about.
I mean, Lesnar looks like he needs to sit down for a few. He's not blown up, but he looks like this man's working hard.
Well, he is. He's worked harder than Cena has in this match. I'm going to be honest with you. I think if you take Cena out of the equation and it was just Rollins and Lesnar, it would have been a better match.
I don't disagree with you at all. And here's Lesnar getting
out. They're like just crawling up out of the rubble. Now he's to the steel steps. There's that, you know, what do you got to do to beat this guy?
Yeah, love it.
You know, he's Superman.
And here's the thing about this match. Logical.
Yeah.
From start to finish, it's a logical match, a clean finish.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to win a match to get over.
No.
Oh, here we go.
This is just incredible.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, you see a lot of guys do this type of dive and do those leaps, and most of the time they crash and burn.
Yeah.
Even Shawn Michaels and CM Punk both had some good dives from the same distance, doing basically the same spot. But Rollins nails it, and he gets height, too.
He
doesn't just go straight out. He jumps up and over, and he hits that. I mean, he hits him exactly where he's supposed to hit him, right between the chest with that elbow.
Yeah.
He bounces off of him, not the table. It's one of the greatest pro wrestling dives I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is one of the best table spots that I've ever seen.
It really is. I don't think I'm overselling it to say that. That it's it's one of the greatest dives you'll ever see.
But it perfect.
Yeah.
It is perfect.
There it is in slow motion again.
Let me ask you,
bam. I mean, he lands exactly where he's supposed to land. He doesn't come up short. He doesn't overshoot him.
He does it
perfect.
And neither one of them got injured. When CM Punk does the dive at Mania against Taker, he comes up a little bit short and jacked his knee up.
Right. Shawn Michaels, when he did it to Ric Flair, it hurt his ribs. I mean, but Rollins, that's what wrestling is supposed to be. You look, when they tell me Lesnar's got broke ribs, I believe it.
Yeah.
Because it looked like he could have got his ribs broke, but nobody got hurt. And even if he did break a rib, I don't know if I haven't heard, I'm assuming that he didn't. But man, what a thing to hang your hat on for Rollins. And I'm sure, like he says it now, I mean, I broke Brock Lesnar's rib. When you can't pin Brock Lesnar, when you can't get Brock Lesnar off his feet, and then you got a guy that can come out and say, I broke Brock Lesnar's rib.
That should have been his t-shirt.
I broke Lesnar's rib. Yeah. They need to make that shirt. I mean, he's going to hang his hat on that for a long time, man. And he should.
Here's the thing, okay? People complain about the 10-year, 11-year run Cena's had because he's not a great worker.
Right.
A lot of people think Cena's passing
that
torch.
There's more to being a worker than knowing how to a couple of moves.
Right.
But I get where you're going.
But if I've never seen Cena do that move.
Power bomb.
Yeah.
Sit down, power.
I've never seen him do that. But if you told me, hey, Seth Rollins is going to be for the next 10 years your top heel, I can get super excited about that.
I can see that. I always have said if Brock Lesnar had liked the schedule and wanted to stay around, John Cena would be in the opening match, though.
Yes. Oh, you're absolutely. You know, yeah.
He was lucky enough to be there to step up when Lesnar left.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And given and out of Orton and him and Batista, he was the most kid friendly.
Yeah.
And he's the best on promo and he's the best in the ring.
Yeah.
So he got the nod, but basically because Lesnar didn't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lesnar walked away.
Yeah, Lesnar walked away. And had he not, he'd have been the guy who had the incredible run. He'd have been the guy who made all the money.
Yeah.
Because his match with Kurt Angle at WrestleMania is just incredible.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's pretty impressive. What?
Oh, yeah, man.
Seth Rollins is carried.
He's a big boy. I mean, you know what I mean? He's kind of slim, so you can't.
Yeah.
Been there against Cena and Lesnar, you can't tell. But, man, he's what, 6'3", 6'4", maybe?
He's a big old boy, man.
He ain't no slouch. He ain't no Daniel Bryan.
No.
Who's, you know. How tall is Daniel Bryan? Do you know? 5'7", maybe? 5'8"?
I don't know.
He's little.
Compared to Roman Reigns,
yeah,
it's night and day.
A hellacious match.
Yes.
Michael Cole. And he's right, it is.
Yeah.
One of the best matches I've seen in years.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then they followed it up with, okay, now here you were talking about the STF Cena does.
Just look at his arms, the way he just kind of loosely crosses them, and he's not cinched up around the neck.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just not a good. And Austin told him that on the show, when Cena was on Austin's podcast, he told him, man, you need to tighten that up a little bit because it doesn't look good.
I love JJ Security just jumped in to help Seth Rollins. I love that. To me, that just adds to the heelish.
Yeah, yeah, they're protecting their guy.
But it's also Noble and Mercury, two guys that can take some bumps.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're the new stooges.
Yeah.
And we just saw the gurney go by, and we're getting word that something's wrong with Lesnar, and Shield 2.0. John Cena just took a horrible bump there, too.
Yeah.
There again, just Lesnar and Rollins, this is a 5-star match. The only reason that I don't call it a 5-star match is because John Cena.
Yeah.
He did a few things in it that I thought were not great.
Like, at this point in Cena's career, he should be able to take a bump as second nature.
Right. And not have it look like an awkward, you shouldn't be taking elbow bumps.
Like when Seth Rollins takes awkward bumps, that's part of his deal.
Right.
Like some of these.
That German that Lesnar threw.
He twisted his body to look land funny.
To make it look like it hurt more than it should have. And Seth Rollins is just great.
Yeah.
He is, man. He's a guy. I mean,
Seth.
Just awesome. Not going to be like other wrestling columnists and fauna.
Now, this has been done, you know.
Yeah, the two guys. That would have been impressive a year or two ago, but not so much now.
Yeah.
Plus, that guy looks like it just hurts. And they're another AA. They just use the AA too much, man.
What's weird is on that near fall, the crowd pops. And are they popping because...
I think they're just... There's
a build happening.
There's a build happening. And sometimes when a match is really good, you don't want it to end before it's supposed to.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't time for this match to end yet. But I think John Cena should have used something other than his finish.
Yeah.
At that point.
Throw in a brain buster.
Anything.
A DDT.
Anything.
Yeah.
He could have done anything, but he goes back to the one move that ain't really that great of a finish anyway, and he knows how to do.
He's killed his own finisher.
He has. And like with this, I mean, he'll have so many people kick out of it, then he'll beat somebody, beat the same guy with it on Raw. And it's like, well, what happened to you? You kicked out of 10 of them the other day. See, there again, he was going right back to it.
Yeah. Is that laziness or is he just following the formula?
I think he's lazy a little bit. And I'm sure that's just what he does.
Yeah.
That's what WWE does. They hit their finishes over and over again. And for some reason in big matches, you've got the ability to kick out where you might not on Monday Night Raw.
Right.
Which sends a subtle message that Monday Night Raw is not as important as this.
Yeah. Here we go. This is setting up for the, what is this called?
The Phoenix Splash.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. Apparently it was his, when he was Tyler Black, it was his finishing Ring of Honor. And I like when a guy reaches this point where he knows he's got to do a little something extra. Pull out all the stops. And it, there again, memo to John Cena, he did a different move.
Yeah.
And just incredible. And then bam, when this happened, I come up off of my couch.
Yes,
man.
Absolutely.
When Lesnar comes back, gets back in the ring and starts with the Germans, I just lost it. And actually had the old holy, holy poop moment.
Yeah.
Bam.
And that was great. Yeah.
And just. And, you know.
Oh, he hits him. He got it. I forgot about that. Yeah. Two shots with the briefcase. And now it's. Oh, this is.
And I remember thinking here, man, are they going to. And then nope, they're not.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar's so fast, man.
Yeah.
I mean, for a big guy. I mean, so my final rating, 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
We've never rated a match on here before.
No.
But that's what I'm giving it, is 4.5, just because I thought they kicked out of the finishes too many times, and then Cena had the couple of loose moves that I just didn't think looked good.
To me, that's the kind of match that elevates the title. Has been, I may be ridiculed for this. It has been refreshing to me that the title hasn't been defended every pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I liked it when they did the brand pay-per-views that the title was defended, but it was every other pay-per-view.
Right.
So that's the end of that match. Again, just a phenomenal, phenomenal match. Three guys. Now, as I'm watching the three guys, Lesnar's walking out of the ring. He's still selling that rib shot. He's covered head to toe in sweat. I know Seth Rollins gave it all, but like, it's like Cena was just there.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it is now with Cena, I think. You know what I mean? I don't know. He's stale.
Yeah.
And he has refused to, for whatever reason, to grow in his character at all.
Yeah.
So some of the hate that he gets is his fault.
Yes,
he
agree.
He refuses to grow as a character.
Yeah.
And that, if you hate him for that, I understand that.
Correct.
You know, some guy can, you know, kick his dog and call his wife a dirty name, and he'll come out smiling, cracking jokes next week.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't bother him. He never seems to show that. And then occasionally he will, but it's always right before the pay-per-view to try to get me to buy it.
Right. Right.
He needs to get mad every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to tell some fans, screw you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not here to do it. Do something just to act like you got a little bit of growth in your character.
Yeah. I totally agree. We were talking about, we were watching on the network, some of the Black History Month stuff, and Ric Flair goes out on the ranch with Blackjack Mulligan and Dusty Rhodes.
The long ride.
And it's a good segment.
Mm-hmm.
You compare that in that promo, Ric Flair is very humble.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
he's not the usual bragging.
Right. You know, he's Rick gone Clay. There asking for help.
Yeah, he needs help.
And you talk about somebody who really grew into their character, but once he hit that sweet spot.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that Cena ever really hit that sweet spot or...
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But I think he's definitely got Hoganitis.
Yeah, he's stale, man. He's stale.
So, how would you? Well, if you were John, if we put Mark Whitman's brain in John Cena, what would you do? And you know, all right, you're facing Russo at Fastlane. When you talk about changing your or adapting your character, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean,
what is a subtle thing that you would do?
Well, here's the thing: if I was him, if I was booking him against Rusev, and I guess maybe we haven't gotten to this point yet. But Rusev's been running down America, mm-hmm. and everybody else has been standing up for America.
Right.
But John Cena's just mad at him because he interrupted him during a promo.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Why? Like, I get that would have been okay, you wanted my attention, now you've got it.
Yeah.
I understand that. But John Cena should be out there waving a flag right now.
Yeah.
That's the first thing he should say. Okay, well, I'm tired of what you've been saying. You interrupted me. You want my attention. You got it. I don't like what you've been saying about America. And his whole he does the whole salute when he comes out.
Yeah.
And he would think that he would be Mr. America.
Where's dog tags?
Yeah. Why is he not the guy out there?
Yeah.
Making. I'm trying to think of a patriot.
The patriot.
Well, making Captain America.
Yeah.
Look like Red Skull.
Right.
You know what I mean? He should be waving the flag that hard right now.
Right.
Why isn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe he will. Maybe we'll get there by the time that people hear this. Maybe he will come out in American flag shorts.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
You can't have this. I got a military. First of all, he wasn't in the military.
No.
So I don't know why he's running around acting like he was, trying to make everybody believe that he was. But I get it that you want to support them, and that's
correct.
Great.
Yes.
And you should. But then when you have the opportunity to actually incorporate all the stuff that you've been doing
yes.
for a few years into an angle with a guy who it would make perfect sense that you would be at odds with.
Yeah.
You're not doing any of that.
Yeah, I don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't. I listen.
Listen, Undertaker was on a team one time where they were with Lex Luger, where they were fighting. And when he took his coat off, have you seen this?
Uh-uh.
They had a Survivor Series team or something. And Undertaker takes his coat off because they're together fighting this anti-American crew. And when he opens his coat up, they've sewn an American flag inside of the Undertaker's jacket.
Oh, nice.
So if Undertaker can alter his character a little bit.
And there's another guy that altered his character, and he did the run kind of as the biker deal. And even wrestled a little bit of a different style.
Yeah, The Undertaker's a great guy who always, you see him now, and then you see him later, and there's something now that connects him to 6 months ago, but it's different.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and then he becomes that American badass biker gimmick, and then he kind of goes back to being the dead man. But it's always the had, and it's always different too.
Yeah.
And John Cena's still wearing blue jean shorts, and he's still wearing tennis shoes, and he's still wearing wristbands, and he's still acting like nothing bothers him.
Yeah. Can I just say this? The current color scheme they've got him in, the whatever blue that is.
Yeah.
Maybe I just haven't been paying attention. They're changing his colors a lot more often than they used to.
Are they?
Or have they always done that? Hey. They're trying to sell merchandise.
Yeah, they're trying.
And they know all the kids already had the red shirt, so they're going to make it.
So now they got to get the blue one.
Yeah. So anyway, so on this episode, we have discussed Pro Wrestling Illustrated's year-end awards. We have walked you through the triple threat match from the 2015 Royal Rumble. We want to know what you think. Maybe you voted. We would love to hear from you if you voted for the PWI.
Like to know, man.
What were you thinking?
And I would also like to know, I would like to hear from you if you actually canceled your WWE Network subscription.
Yes, yeah, so many people, I'm going to cancel, hashtag. Listen, And some of you jokers canceled it just so you could get it free for February. That's Mark right. And I'm a stockholder. I kept my subscription.
Yeah, I kept mine. I ain't canceling mine because the guy I liked didn't win.
Yeah.
You know?
So, we want to hear from you. Go to our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. Just be intelligent.
Yeah, and don't use the Cancel WWE Network hashtag if you're following Roman Reigns on Twitter.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of Twitter, send us a message on Twitter at Heath Mulliken and
at the DDK Show.
We want to hear from you. We will talk with you. We don't just tweet and post during Raw. We're on there all the time. And it's WrestleMania season is the most exciting time of the year for a wrestling fan. And they're giving us a February pay-per-view that actually matters. It's not just a throwaway pay-per-view. And listen, we don't care what you like and what you don't like. I mean,
I really don't.
I really don't. Because we like what we like.
Yeah.
But just so
I'm not jumping on the Roman Reigns hate train because tell me I'm supposed to.
No, everybody that hated him all said, boy, that spear on the Big Show was awesome.
And here, I've been watching wrestling for 30 years, and I have seen every great performer that you can name.
Yeah.
I have seen one of their matches.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
I can tell you. I've watched Luthez's matches.
Yeah.
I've watched a few. Destroyer, Ricky Dozan, El Santo, guys that I've talked about, Ray Stevens. Whoever you name, I've watched a match by him.
Correct.
I don't need anybody to tell me he's not ready for the main event. I know he's not ready for the main event. He probably knows he's not ready if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Because he's not. But I don't need everybody to tell me that he's not. Yeah. I know.
But we're in a different era. I cannot say that word. Era where you don't have the seasoning as far as going to different territories and learning different styles.
You don't get to work out all the kinks before you get to the big show.
But let me ask you this, Mark. Last year, 2014, I was mad when Roman Reigns didn't win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I was too.
And which would have put him in the main event of WrestleMania. But this year, everybody's like, oh, yeah, Roman Reigns, he's not ready. It's like, what happened in... We're a bunch of hypocrites is what we are, Mark.
Well, I'm not.
Hey,
I didn't use the hashtag cancel WWE network.
And I didn't, but you can use the hashtag DDK show, hashtag snot bubble, hashtag Heath is a number one, Russia, a number one, Iran, a number one. If you're not following the Iron Sheik on Twitter,
man, you're missing it.
So, hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Go to doubledropkick.com. Click on a banner. Subscribe through Stitcher, radio, or iTunes. If you're on iTunes, if you're on your computer, go on iTunes. Go to that page where our podcast is in the iTunes store. Give us a 5-star rating and review. Not 4.5 stars.
Not 4.5.
5.
That's right.
5-star. And just 2 sentences.
Because even though I'm phoning it in today, I'll still be critical of them for doing the same.
Hey, you're not phoning it in, man. Listen, if you guys knew what we ate for breakfast this morning, we made that breakfast buffet tap out.
Oh, you tapped out?
But after 2 full plates.
True.
No. That, what is that? Amish Mennonite? I get it all.
I don't know.
It was good.
Whatever it was, they had some good sausage, boy, some good bacon, some good French toast.
Had some turkey links. It was good.
I didn't try the turkey links. Oh, I'm not. Good. If I got the choice between bacon and turkey links, it's going to be bacon 10 times out of 10.
I choose them all. Choose them all.
Try the turkey, though.
So our arteries are clogged.
They had
our bellies.
Smoked sausages. Those were good.
I didn't see.
You don't like smoked
sausage? Can't eat smoked sausage before 6 p.m.
Oh, that's good, boy.
So
it's good. Even no eggs was pretty good.
It was all good, man.
Yeah.
Coffee was good.
French toast was jam up and jelly tight, boy.
And then we had good hot... Like, listen, all this talk about food makes me want to eat a second lunch.
I'm going to eat these vanilla cookies.
Yes, Mark is ready.
I got them open, just ready for you to wrap
it
up.
I'm lingering. I'm lingering now because I want you to... I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.